Blog Talk Radio.
This isn't in any book. Where was this when I signed up? I think I want my money back. I thought I'd take a look. Then all of a sudden I jumped in without ever looking back.
Life to me, baby, I was blind shining.
Your success or failure mentioned in the Bible, part one. We had a computer malfunction last week, and tonight we're trying to bring you this show from New Orleans, Louisiana. Tonight you're going to get a part one of a lesson the Wild Bill felt could do us all some good. This is an older lesson from a live service, and so the sound quality may not be the best. We recorded it again in a digital format to try to make it clearer. And as always, we open up the mics for comments and questions at the end of the show. You may hear things that you don't agree with, but we ask that you try to pick out the choice things you can learn from and throw away the things you do not like. We all are trying to figure out the balance of the application of faith, but many of us do not think about this. In this process, do you gain or grow in faith? I haven't ever read the word balance in the Bible. Have you? Yet we hear people say it more and more in church these days, just like staying in the middle of the road. We think this lesson will be helpful in that process of trying to build your faith. So now, let's have a listen.
Well, say this with me. I'm a believer.
I'm
not a doubter. I believe God. I believe His Word. I trust God. And what I trust about God is His Word. Thank you, Father, for Your Word, for Your truth, for Your Word is truth. Circumstances lie, but Your Word is truth. And I'll follow Your Word. Hallelujah. All right, open your Bibles again tonight. We're talking about, we started this morning, just kind of introduced the subject. I used the title, actually, we're talking about doing the sayings of Jesus, but how to succeed when others fail. Now, there's failure on every hand. But how to succeed when others fail. And we read from the 6th chapter of Luke, and I want to read the foundation scriptures again tonight as we share this with you. In Luke, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 46, or 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house, digged deep, laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without foundation built his house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, as I said this morning, you realize he's not talking about a housing project at all. He's talking about individual lives. He says three things that will cause you to be successful in life. But you must put all three of them together. Come to me, hear my sayings, and do them. Now, the foundation here is doing the sayings of Jesus. He laid the foundation on the rock. In other words, everything that he did was based on the Word of God. Jesus is the rock, and Jesus was the Word of God. So he based what he did on God's Word, not on circumstances or situations, but he believed God's Word. Everything that he did it because of the Word. Didn't do it because someone else did it. Now, someone else may have done it and may have mentioned it. But you do it because of what God said. So there's three things. You come to Jesus, you hear His sayings, and you do them. Now, as I said this morning, sometimes people get the idea that, well, now one of these individuals was saved and the other wasn't. But I'm convinced that both of them could have been full gospel, tongue-talking, Bible-toting, full gospel businessmen. They both came to Jesus. They both heard what Jesus said, but only one of them did what Jesus said. And when the storms and the stream of life, the storms of life, began to come against the one that only heard, immediately he fell. But did you notice what Jesus said about the other? He said, if you hear my sayings and doeth them, it could not shake it. The storms of life can't shake it. Inflation can't shake it. recession can't shake you. Because God has made provision. Now, you know, you listen to the news media, and if you go, you know, if you analyze the Bible in the light of 6 and 10 o'clock news, you're in trouble. But analyze the 6 and 10 o'clock news in the light of the Word of God. Jonah said something that stands out very vividly in my thinking for years, and he says, "They that observe lying vanity forsake their own mercy." Lying vanity. In other words, it looked like it was true. It looked like he was doomed. But in that fish's belly, he said, this came to him evidently, if I accept this, I'm done for. Well, you know the story. God provided the big fish not to punish Jonah, but to save his life. And Sunday school teacher said to her Sunday school class, and they studied Jonah, said, what does this story teach us? The boy raised his hand and said, all right, what, Johnny, what does it teach us? It teaches us that people make whales sick. Well, see, you could miss the whole point altogether. But now notice, he said, doing the sayings of Jesus. Well, now let's back up here just a little bit and talk about some of the things Jesus said to do. If you'll notice that Jesus, beginning here with about verse 27, "But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you." You know, that's a little bit against human nature, isn't it? But remember what he said, if you don't do the sayings of Jesus, you're going to fail in life. See, we've got to decide that if this is truth, then I need to do it. And you have to make a decision. You don't feel like doing it. I mean, you'd like to bless them with a brick. Like one lady was counseling with the counselor and pastor and said, well, her husband just means that they're just, you know, just having all kinds of problems. Well, he said, have you tried heaping coals of fire upon his head? You know, Paul said, do good to those that do evil. By this, you'll heap coals of fire upon his head. She said, well, no. She said, I haven't tried that, but I did pour hot scalding water on him. Well, there again, she missed the point, didn't she? But now, this is what Jesus said to do. Now, remember, Jesus is a prophet. He said, if you don't do my sayings, you're going to fail in life. So you just don't drift through life and just do what you feel like doing. You make a decision to love your enemies. You don't do it because you feel like doing it. God didn't send his son and give his life. Sacrifice his son because he felt like doing it. He did it because he made a decision to do it. God is love. Notice in verse 30, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again, or don't ask for them back. Somebody said, what's that talking about? Talking about Clinton's tax bill, I guess. Well, why not apply to that? Give it to him, believe for a return. See, sometimes we get upset over taxes. Notice what he goes on to say here. And if you, and as you would that men should do unto you, do also to them likewise. Well, drop on down here a ways. I'd like to take time to go through all these. But verse 35 says, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Well, that'd certainly apply to taxes, wouldn't it? And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. Look at verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. Give, and it shall be given. Now, this is a saying of Jesus, isn't it? I mean, if Jesus said it, it's a saying of his. So, you see, that there's a lot of things in here that if we would learn to make decisions on and decide that I'm going to do what Jesus said to do. Now, I want to share with you some tonight, some of my testimony. I hardly ever do this because I don't want you believing in just in testimonies or what I believe in it because I did it. But yet, Oral Roberts said something to me one time. He said, don't ever quit sharing these experiences because these illustrations are windows that people see through. Now, when I began to see that if I don't do the sayings of Jesus, I'm going to fail in life. I was sick in body, head over heels in debt. The doctor said I had an ulcer beginning in the esophagus. Be laid up for 3 days at a time, drink that Maalox by the bottle. Dear God, thank God I'm redeemed from Maalox. But you see, I got a hold of some tapes from Brother Kenneth Hagin about redeemed from the curse of the law and some tapes on confession. And I'll tell you what, I went to church every time the doors were open. I went to a full gospel church. But I never heard one sermon on Mark 11, 24 or 23 that you can have what you say. Now, they talked the best they knew of what they knew. But folks, if you go to the wrong church, you may die young and love God with all your heart. You can't believe any further than you have knowledge. So I began to hear some things that hadn't been taught in my church. My first reaction was, now, if that's true, they'd have taught that in my church. But they didn't know anything about that in my church. But yet there was nothing wrong with the church other than they just didn't have the revelation of some of these things. You understand what I'm saying? But I decided that if Jesus said it, it must be true. And if I'm going to fail, if I don't do it, I'm going to start doing it because I was already failing. I was already successful in the failing part. So I just simply started confessing the scriptures. I remember one day I was praying, and it takes you a while to get rid of some of this stuff that you learned over the years. It's harder to unlearn than it is to learn some things. And I was praying one morning. I said, Lord, I prayed. It's not working out. Things getting worse. And the Spirit of God spoke up on the inside of me. I didn't hear a voice. He said, who told you that? And it shocked me. And I thought for a minute, I said, must have been the devil, because you sure didn't say it, did you? No, and he said, I'd appreciate it if you'd quit telling what the devil said. And I realized I've been quoting the devil more than I was quoting God. He said, now you've been praying me to do something about your finances. And he said, if you don't change your confession and what you're saying daily, it won't get any better. It's going to get worse. Because he said, you're quoting what the devil said. You're in faith cometh by hearing. And I'll tell you, I had all the worse I wanted. I'm ready to change. But I mean, when you come to the point I was hanging at the last knot at the end of the rope. You've seen this cat, you know, hanging on this rope right at the end that says, hang in there, baby. I was just barely hanging in there. And brother, when I heard this message, I said, that's it. If you really want to know the truth, when you hear it, you'll know it instantly. If you don't want to know it, you wouldn't know it if it came down the street with a red hat on. Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath not shall be taken away from him, even that which he hath. Talking about ears to hear. But now, I got a hold of this faith and confession message through books and tapes. And I just simply decided I'm going to say what God said, regardless of what else happens. In fact, the Lord said to me, when he said, it's going to get worse, it's not going to get any better, if you don't change what you're saying. I said, well, what am I going to do? He said, well, go through the Word of God and write down what I said about your finances and your situation in life. And begin to confess it day after day after day. Write it down. And that's how this little book, God's Creative Power, started. On a yellow sheet of paper, handwritten, folded and put in my shirt pocket. I'd go back on the back side of the farm every morning, walk up and down the turn row and confess, I am the body of Christ. The enemy have no power over me, overcome evil with good. I am of God and have overcome the wicked one. For greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your words, your spirit, they comfort me. I'm far from oppression. Fear does not come nigh me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Whatever I do will prosper. For I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I'm delivered from the evils of this present world. For it is the will of God concerning me. No evil will befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. And on and on. There's abundance and no lack. And every time I'd get to that, and there's abundance and no lack. Boy, there was a religious thing that come up, you know. And my old religious head said, you're just lying. And I stopped one morning. I said, Lord, it just seems to me like I'm lying saying this. And I'll never forget what the Spirit of God said to me. Just as real, I wouldn't have been any stronger if he'd have said it over a microphone or a loudspeaker. He said, son, how could you lie saying what I said about you? See, Psalms 1:3 shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Well, what's that mean? I knew what it meant because I like to fish down there on the White River. And those old cypress trees along the lakes, the dry summer that comes, they just demand from that lake and that river all they need. Your leaf also shall not wither, whatsoever it doeth shall prosper. So I continued to confess the Word of God. Now here's the thing that most people have not understood. There's a lot of triers of the Word, but not many doers. Sometimes people will start confessing things and they'll confess it 2 or 3 days and they say, well, I confessed it 3 days and it didn't work. Folks, I confessed it a week, I confessed it a month, I confessed it 2 months, I confessed it 3 months. Now, after the first week or so, I could tell a difference in my attitude and what I believed. You can change what you believe by what you say. See, you've been believing what you say all the time. Now, other people can spark you in believing in a direction, but what you're saying yourself is going to really be what you believe. The more you say it, the more you'll believe it. The more you confess the negative things, the more they'll be engrafted into your spirit. But I spent weeks and months confessing the Word of God. And when I'd say there's abundance and no lack, so many times, everywhere I looked, there was lack. But I'm not going to observe lying vanity. See, there was lack. That was a present fact in my life. I didn't deny it. But yet, I didn't give place to it. I called it the way God called it. He said, if I give, it'll be given unto me. If I sow bountifully, I'll reap bountifully. Well, I had done that. So far as I was concerned, I'm going to say what God said about it. Until I receive what God said I'd have. So I continued. See, there was no turning back because, I mean, the last knot at the end of the rope is no way to go but up. After about 3 months of confessing, I am healed with the stripes of Jesus. Thank God I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. The ulcer disappeared. Now it tried to come back. I remember one day I was fishing on White River, and that pain hit me right there, and I started to say, I thought I was healed, but I guess I'm not. And I remembered Brother Hagin talking about that. That he says that's how a lot of people lose their healing. And I just slapped myself right there. I said, stop that in the name of Jesus. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Just as quick as you can snap your finger, it left. 2 or 3 times I had to do that. In fact, I did that one time I was teaching. right in the middle of the teaching session. I just slapped myself and said, stop that in the name of Jesus. I don't know what the people thought. I never did explain it. I mean, you could get sidetracked, you know, but I'll tell you one thing, my body obeyed me. Now, see, it was over a period of time. Now, see, people, when you go to teaching this way, people say, well, you know, well, I'm going to believe God that way. Now, you know, if the doctor says you've got something, if you don't have an operation in 10 days, you're going to be dead, that's not time to start confessing. They say, they write me all the time, say, do you think I should have an operation? The doctor says, you know, that I have cancer. So, certainly, have an operation. The very fact that you had to ask proves that you're not in a position to believe God in that matter. See, you've got to be fully persuaded. Don't ever push people out there beyond where they're developed to. You're going to have a funeral on your hand. But see, don't hinder people's faith either. But you see, the Word of God will build your faith. Now, over a period of time, you see that happen. Built me to the point. Now, over the next year, then, I confess the Word of God daily. Just saturate yourself with the Word of God. And I can relate to the farmer talking about listening to tapes on his tractor. I spent hours, 7-8 hours a day in a pickup truck. Tapes going all day long. If it wasn't Brother Hagin or somebody, it was the New Testament on tape. Just saturate yourself with the Word of God. You don't realize how that changes you. The Word of God's powerful. But, you see, over a period of time, that built into my spirit. Now, I remember the day that it began to become, I became fully persuaded. It'd been about a year. I was saying, thank God I have abundance and no lack. And all of a sudden, I said, glory to God, I do, don't I? There's abundance and no lack. Now, I didn't have a bit more money than I did 6 months before. But there was an emotion that came over me. I felt the same as I feel now when I don't have any financial problems. And brother, I was deep in, if I'd sold everything I owned, I'd still owe, you know, including the pants I had on, I'd still owe $100,000. What happened? I became fully persuaded. Now, after I became fully persuaded, you see, God's Word produces the faith for things that God has given us. Faith cometh from what? Hearing. And hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. Now, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart, he brings forth good things. But you see, people don't want to take the time to put the good treasure in there. They want it to be a fast service, you know. I'm going to get it tonight. No, you didn't get that doubt and unbelief that way. It came a little at a time. You confess the Word of God, you confess the Word of God until faith comes. He didn't say faith comes by having heard, or faith came by having heard. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing, and hearing, and hearing. Now, if you study what the Apostle Paul taught about that in Romans, the 10th chapter, he said, the righteousness which is of faith says, the word is nigh me. It is in my mouth and in my heart. Now, notice, didn't say it's in your neighbor's mouth and in your heart. It says it's in your mouth and in your heart. Didn't say it's in your pastor's mouth and in your heart. It's in your mouth and in your heart. Now, the reason I'm spending so much time on this is because I want to lay the foundation. Because so many times people get the idea when I begin to give illustrations, well, bless God, I'm going to try that. Now, if you're just going to try it, you're going to fail. You've got to do the foundation first. You've got to be doing what the Word says. You've got to base your faith on God's Word. You've got to be fully persuaded of what you're doing. Now, I don't know. It never occurred to me that it might not work. Never crossed my mind. I saw Jesus said it, so I'm just going to do it until it works. I don't know how long it'll take for you to get the good treasure in your heart to where it's abundantly in your heart, because you see, until it gets abundantly in your heart, you're not going to affect much by your saying in changing things. But you're going to change yourself by what you say. You're going to change what you believe. See, what you believe today is because of what you've confessed in days past. Because what you say, remember what Paul said, is in your mouth and in your heart. The word is nigh you. What word? The word of faith. It's in your mouth and in your heart. So then, after a year or so, I began to see the things that I said change situations. Now, I gave you an illustration this morning that I had some mortgages on a piece of property. I took them out, and see, turn there to Luke, the 17th chapter. Jesus speaking, of the disciples, in verse 5, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Luke 17, verse 5. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. If you had faith as a seed, say to it. Now, we're not talking about moving a tree, no more than we're talking about housing projects over there. We're talking about problem areas that's in your life. If you back up and study the context of this, talk about unforgiveness. Talk about forgiving people. So you would say to unforgiveness, you're a thing of the past. You'll never hinder me again. You're plucked up and cast into the sea, planted in the sea. Not cast into. You just cast it in a tree in the sea, and you know what to do? Wash right up on shore. You had to deal with it again. Jesus tells you how to eliminate it. Be plucked up, be planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Who's it going to obey? You, not God, you. What you're saying about it is what's going to happen. And you know what most people say? Well, you just don't know what they did to me. I just can't forgive them. I've tried, but I can't. See, those that say they can and those that say they can't are both right.
Amen.
Because, see, you're establishing it. Now, Jesus said we're going to fail if we don't do his sayings. He says, if you had faith as a seed, you would say. That's what it begins with the saying. Now, it won't happen. Now, listen to me closely. It won't happen just because you say it. But if you have faith as a seed, then what kind of faith does a seed have? A seed has faith in the ability. The DNA on the inside of it knows how to do it. God's word in you has the DNA of God in it, the building blocks of life. It knows how to do it. You don't have to pray over, a farmer doesn't have to pray over his corn, his seed corn, so it'll know what to do when he plants it. It's already established in that seed. If you have faith as a seed, he said, you're safe. Well, now, why is it that people talk so negative? They have faith as a seed. Well, I can already see this, not going to work. Self-talk will defeat you. And I'm not talking about just everything you say out loud. You talk to yourself every day. You know, things start going wrong some morning, and you haven't said a word, but here's what's going through your mind. It's self-talk. I can already see this day is going to be a mess. It's going to be a bummer. Self-talk will defeat you in life. Now, Jesus said, and allow me to use it here. He said, take no thought by saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, wherewith shall we be clothed? Now, see, people get the idea. Well, Jesus said, don't ever take any thought. No, that wasn't what he said at all. He said, take no anxious thought by saying. Because when you take thought by saying, what are we going to do? That's a seed of doubt. Now, take thought by saying, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to confess God's word till faith comes. Don't take thought by saying. Now, in the fourth chapter of Mark, you find that he says, things that Satan uses to get the word out of you. Now, it's interesting what he says. Turn over there to Mark, fourth chapter. verse 17. And it says, they have no root in themselves, so endure for a time. Afterwards, when affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. We talked to a fellow at Mayo Clinic. Tried to talk to him about God's willingness to heal and deliver. And that things would be right. He had said, well, you know, I just said that, you know, if my wife dies while she's here, why, that's just the will of the Lord. And we tried to share with him, hey, God wants your wife well. And started quoting some scripture and sharing with him. And he got offended. Get offended at the word. His wife had a heart attack during the transplant. But she did pull through. But anyway, notice what it says here. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. The cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, entering in, choke the word. And folks, here's the key right here. They won't enter in if you don't cause them to enter in. How do they enter in? Paul tells you in Romans the 10th chapter, the word is nigh you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. What you speak out of your mouth enters into what the Bible calls the heart. That's the way you get the word of God in there. That's the way you get fear in there. Faith cometh by hearing. How does fear come? Same way, by hearing. Just hearing a different thing. Now Jesus said, the word is nigh you, or Paul said, the word is nigh you, in your mouth and in your heart. These things enter in, choke the word. They enter in by speaking things that are contrary to the word of God. Now I know that when you start talking to pieces of paper, talking to ground, people look at you strange. They'll give you lots of room. But I got a hold of this, and I began to see it. And the more I taught it, the more revelation I got. The entrance of the word bringeth light. I had two houses out on this project that I had built, and they hadn't sold. And I was praying one morning. I said, now, Lord, I've prayed and believed you for a buyer. I want to know why these houses hadn't sold. He said, why don't you do what you've been teaching? I said, you mean talk to them? Well, that's what I've been teaching. You'll have what you say. And I was saying, Lord, the houses hadn't sold. And they hadn't. See, you can be that close to revelation and miss it all together. And so I remembered then what the Lord said. If you don't do my sayings, you're going to fail. He said, if you had faith as a seed, you would say. And here I am saying they're not so. So I just said, well, I'm going to do what you said. I just got in my car and drove out there to the house. Got out, walked up to the front porch, said, listen to me, I'm talking to you. Jesus said you would obey me. Somebody likes you. Somebody needs you. You'll be a blessing to somebody. They like the way your bricks are stacked. Went inside and talked to it. Call you sold in Jesus' name. Went down and talked to the other one. Now, I'd like to tell you it sold the next day, but it didn't. So 2 weeks later, I'm driving down. It's cold that day. It's in the winter. And your carnal mind, see, begins to talk to you. My carnal mind said, now what you going to do, big mouth? Now, see, most of us think it's the devil talking to you. Most of it's your carnal mind. I said to the Lord one time, or said to a congregation one time, the devil said to me so-and-so. When I got back in the room, the Lord said, you said the devil said to you. Yeah? He said, let me ask you something. Did you resist him? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, he was fleeing from you. He wasn't even there. How could he talk to you? He said, that's your carnal mind. And But anyway, my carnal mind said, now what are you going to do, big mouth? You've made all these statements. And I remembered something that the Lord said in one of our meetings through word of prophecy. He said, tears of self-pity and sorrow never release faith. He said, learn to release your faith in laughter. So if you had faith as a seed, so I just drove down there. It's cold that day. I just rolled the window down. Drove up to the house, stuck my head out and said, ha, ha, ha. Went down and laughed at the other one and went home. And don't look at me with that tone of voice. Didn't you feel silly? Yeah, I did. But what's that have to do with it? I'm doing what Jesus said to do, what the Spirit of God impressed me to do. Now, I've talked to the mortgage. Sold the two houses, sold the whole project, sold the land behind it. And the note was paid in full. I bought a farm, 1973. I'd confessed the word. I got a hold of this word of faith in 1969. Been confessing the word and confessing the word. And one morning I was praying. I was farming at the time, and I said, now, Lord, I need some more land to farm, and I don't know where there's any land available, but I know you do. I ask you to cause it to come to me in Jesus' name. And then I'd been doing some teaching on angels. I said, ministering spirits, go and cause the land to come to me in Jesus' name. Now, I'm mentally thinking about renting the land, you see. Well, 2 weeks later, the phone rang one morning. And my landlady said, I was working part of her land. She said, we're going to sell our farm. You want to buy it? I said, yeah, I'd like to buy it. In fact, I said, I'll come up and talk to you tonight and make you an offer on it. I hung up the phone. And my wife said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to buy the farm. She said, what are you going to use for money? I said, money is no problem. It came out of my spirit. And it really wasn't, because I didn't have any. Yeah. So now here's what I'm talking about. You get yourself soaked in the Word of God and confess what God says. These things come right out of your spirit. A year before, I said, oh, no, dear God, I couldn't buy anything. I don't have any money. I knew it. You know. These things entering in. But you see, what's entering in now is what God says. There's abundance and no lack. I know it beyond any doubt. I don't know how it's going to happen. But anyway, I went up that night, figured what would be a fair price for the farm, offered her $478,000 for the farm. And they had a little caucus over it, and they said, well, now there's another fella that he's indicated he might give $75,000 more than that. And he said, we'll have to wait and see what turns out. So on the way back home, I'm praying in the Spirit. See, Paul said, when you don't know what to pray for as you ought, the Holy Spirit, through your spirit, makes intercession. So I'm praying in the Spirit. And another thing, when you pray in the Spirit, you become more sensitive to what the Spirit of God is saying. And I'm praying in the Spirit, and the Lord said to me right out of my own mouth, just as if I'd give prophecy. He said, You know who the mountain is. Go speak to him and he'll be removed. And I knew the fellow that was bidding against me on the farm. Now, how can you get any more scriptural than that? He said, go talk to the mountain, he'll be removed. So I just drove right on out to the fellow's farm, and he's sitting on the fence out there where they were rounding up some cattle. And I said, you know, we're both bidding on a farm, and I said, if we don't get together, it's going to cost one of us a lot of money. And he said, yeah, I know it. He said, I don't like the way they're shopping my price. He said, I tell you what, I don't really need the land. If you really want it, I'll just withdraw my bid. And he did. And they did. And I did. And, see, I had I went over to the bank, talked to the Federal Land Bank, and they said, well, yeah, we see, they didn't want all the money. They wanted only a third down or so much down. So I went by there, and they said, well, yeah, we didn't have no problems with loaning that amount of money. So I thought I had the deal all sewed up. Well, when I go over there and tell them, okay, we're going to get the deal together, they said, well, how much is the second mortgage? And see, everybody I talked to said, well, you can't buy that land that way. I was going to give them a second mortgage, give the bank a first mortgage. And everybody said, you can't do that. But I did. Why? Because of what I believe. Everybody tried to talk, why you can't do that. If you could do that, anybody could buy the farm. But they agreed to it. Went by to talk to the banker again, and he said, well, you know, he said the second mortgage is too big. We can't loan that money. And I'm sitting there and praying in the spirit, just under my breath. And I heard the Spirit of God say, go across the street to the bank. Well, I knew the fellow that run the bank over there, but I never didn't even have an account there. And I thought, go across the street to the bank. Well, I just, you know, if you don't do the sayings of Jesus. You know what Mary said to the disciples about Jesus when they run out of wine? Said, whatsoever he saith to you, do it. That's the way you get a miracle. I just got up and said, I'll be back in a little while going across the street. So I walked into the bank. The fellow said, well, how are you doing? What can we do for you? I said, I need to borrow $169,000. I thought, might as well get to the point. Well, yeah, he said, I heard about that farm you bought. He said, just bring the papers. We'll loan you the whole amount if you want it. And money was no problem. Now, of course, they didn't want that. I said, no, they don't want the whole amount. That's the whole problem, And I explained to them they was taking a second mortgage and he could have a first and everything worked out fine. Anyway, the land was purchased. Now, it took them 6-8 months to get the abstract up to date. By the time they got the abstract up to date, I had sold 40 acres of the land to the school district to build a new school on for $105,000. I had $57,000 profit in that one deal, and that gave me, by the time we closed the escrow, I had $57,000 equity in the farm and had not put one penny in it, not one. Money was no problem. Miracle after miracle after miracle. Like, who was it? John Osteen wrote a book, There's a Miracle in Your Mouth. But you know, so many times there is defeat in people's mouth. But what I wanted to relate to you, now, I don't want you to miss this. It took, first of all, the foundation of God's Word on the inside of me until I'm fully persuaded and to the point I can believe what I'm saying will come to pass. I won't say it again. It won't happen just because you say it. But if you say and believe and doubt not in your heart. Now that comes by confessing and saying what God says. That's why it's so important that we realize that this is not just a formula. This is a principle. Now, Mark 11:23 says, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed. Notice it didn't say to the mountain, you're getting bigger.
Well, that was an awesome, encouraging word. Is your success or failure mentioned in the Bible, part one? And we'll have part two next week. We're going to hear from Blog Talk Mom. I can get her mic on. Blog Talk Mom, how are you?
Well, I'm fine. I really enjoy the principles that I think, I can't remember how many years ago that a friend of mine, Ruth Finley, we'd gone to school together in a private school in St. Louis and became friends. And then we wound up living in Arkansas. And she shared that with me about this principle. And I love the way he brought it out because he he didn't leave God out of it. You can, the thing that I've noticed that in a lot of, well, just this idea of name it and claim it, I think is what, you know, the little key word that people say about different ones that pray, I don't want to name their names, but it's a truth. It's an absolute truth. And Joy Bells and I was talking this week about the main thing is to leave God in the center. And this is what this gentleman said. He said, you start with the foundation, absolutely, in the Word of God. And if you hear the Word of God all the way through the Bible repeatedly, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. If you hear, and in Revelation it said, he that has an ear, let him hear. And we can repeat things. We can go into all kinds of New Age jargon and all of this almost, you know, just almost magic type approach. And that's an abomination. And when Israel did that, I'm going through the Bible right now, and when Israel did that, and they started slipping down away from God, they were destroyed. God fought for them, held them up, protected them, kept them, but that is an abomination unto God. We're to hear and we're to do. And he started off the teaching session when he was first talking. He brought that out. And so you're not going to hear unless you read, unless you get into the Word of God and know what the Word of God says. I have so rejoiced this year. I found a reading, a program that I've never had before. I've always tried to read through the Bible. But this is dynamic. And I hope maybe one week you could even have the minister or whoever whoever put it together to come on the program. But I'm reading through the Bible like I've never read it. I cannot hardly stop. It's just the way they designed it. It's just awesome. And I'm studying. The Bible says study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And I'm concerned that we have not, well, for one thing, I'm studying and I'm using the Hebrew. I'm all wired up. I got to slow down. But when you go into different, you know, the NIV and all of that, if you want to use it maybe on the sideline as a study, but to use it as the Word of God is not a good thing. Because there are words that are key words to what God has said that aren't even in the NIV. Are there changed to a word, a more popular phrase, that when you go back to that phrase in Hebrew, it is not what God was saying. And people need to wake up and hear and read and study the Word of God and memorize it. I love he brought that out. Know the Word of God so the Holy Ghost can bring it to your mind and you can meditate in your heart about it. And, oh, this was excellent. So I'm going to be very quiet now and let you say something.
I'm sorry, I muted myself. No, I thought it was excellent and so, so timely. I needed this today. It was just so awesome, and I am so looking forward to next week.
And while we are in there, we can all speak to the tornado that's headed this way, they said, and tell it to go somewhere else in Jesus' name. Today, I had to do several things, and it has actually flooded in this area. And I would get to the place where I needed to be, and I would ask the Lord to take his rain into his storehouse. It would quit raining. I would go inside. When I come out of the store, I would pray it again. It would be almost a whiteout. It would stop raining. That happened to me about four times today. So
wow.
I don't believe he's going to let this other that's on its way to hurt anybody. Not only me, but I don't want to hurt anyone. I live in a trailer, and then all behind me trailers, and they all say that's not a good place to be in a storm. But if God is our protector, and he is, then that's all we have to be concerned about.
Amen.
So how are you doing?
Oh, we're having a wonderful time. It is, man, it was almost 80 degrees here today, and we've really enjoyed the time off, for one thing, but it's It's really been nice.
Well, I appreciate you and Wild Bill for caring enough to be, you know, that's such an integrity issue when you are so responsible for this program when there's so many other things going on. And I admire that, and I greatly appreciate it that y'all do it, because it's the highlight of my week, I got to tell you. I love it.
Well, we need to be praying for our neck of the woods, too, in Arkansas and Tennessee. They're having, just had some serious storms tonight also, so be praying.
Yeah, I am. I'm asking the Lord to, it's everywhere, and the flooding, it's already up underneath my trailer and going into the front yard. And there's one thing about confessing the Word of God. I always go back to Job, and he said, though God slay me, yet I trust him. And the real key is that God knows what's best. And if we're going to think that there's not going to be pain and suffering, I love the way the guy made a tremendous business deal, but there's that. And he had to be very firm about knowing what God had said and not letting circumstances, but letting back up, because that's the tool that the enemy uses, is to, he wants us to doubt the Word of God, because that's what puts him, that's the sword of the Spirit, is the Word of God. And we can be protected, but when we have the sword of the Word of God, we can come against him, and he has to leave. But God may, I think I mentioned it, I read this or heard it said, about the scripture that said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Lord give good gifts to those that ask? And one of the illustrations was, if you ask for, if your child asked for bread, would you give them a stone? And, well, of course you wouldn't. But the supernatural awesomeness of God, it may look like a stone. You know, what you're getting, it really may look like a stone. But your trust and faith in God, that you know it's bread. Because when it's all over and done, that, whatever he gives you, is going to be exactly what you needed in this lifetime. We are here not for riches. And, I mean, that's good to prosper. Said we would. But we're here to be conformed to the image of Christ and to glorify him and to magnify him, to be the light of the world and the salt. That, you know, that where we go, that people will be turned from their depression and discouragement and addictions to the living God. And sometimes that only happens through some pretty rough times, I've found, and others might say that. I mean, that's just how I comment about that. But I did really appreciate the faith-building things that man said. It was very good. Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, many of them, I've read their books, and I've really enjoyed them. They've helped me a lot.
Well, I'd like to know about that program that you are doing right now on reading the Bible through in a year.
It's really, the first part of it was, it was for you to read like a chapter a day, I think. And everyone, not everyone, but some of the people that I've given it to and myself, we read it through in one day. You know, we had the opportunity, had the time that day, and you just don't want to put it down. It just flows. And I'm working on a project right here, and I've set the other somewhere. It has the name of the church. Let me see. If anybody wants that, it's on the Internet. And you can print it off. I even called them and asked them if they would make it a little bit more condensed, because we're using so much paper. But it's called the River of Life Christian Church. River of Life Christian Church. And you can call their phone number. They have an email also. But if you look it up, like anybody look it on Google, River of Life Christian Church, and it's in Clarkston, M.I. Is that Michigan or Minnesota or what? M.I.? Michigan?
Michigan.
Okay, it's in Clarkston, Michigan, and they have it'll have a place for you to click on. It says their library, and at the bottom, that like the fourth thing or fifth, it says Bible study, and you can just go right, print it right off. And I'm on 2A now. I finished one, and I'm on 2A, and I'm almost finished with that. I'll probably finish it tonight. And it's just awesome how I didn't ever, you know, sometimes when you're reading the Word of God, there are so many details, and those are necessary. At the end, the third part of this, you read the Bible word for word, Genesis to Revelation. But this one, it runs through it without a lot of genealogies and things that sometimes weary your mind more than I ever realized. And then you get so excited about, like I was reading today in Jeremiah, and I've always been interested in Jeremiah, but it only went to the second verse, the second chapter, I mean. And as it was talking about how God was looking at Israel, and he loved Israel. He said, I'm your protector. You know, I love you. You're like my bride. I'm your husband. And he talks about all of that through these scriptures, and he said, but you played the harlot. You've turned from me to the world, and you want to go back to Egypt. And it began to move inside of me. I don't ever want to go back to this wicked world. I want to love God just like Jesus said, with all of your heart, all of your soul, and your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love, L-O-V-E, that is the key. And if people would just apply that, and include myself, you can't do that without God. You cannot do it without God. You don't leave him out. You don't, you know, try to meditate like, well, really, I'm with him. No, that's junk. That's from the devil. That's from the pit. You go into the Word of God like he said tonight, and you begin to say, Lord, you love me. You are my shepherd. Lord, I shall not want. You make me lay down in green pastures, because you know, Lord, if you don't, I'll get out there and probably get killed or something, but you watch over me. And the Word of God is not just the letter, it's the Spirit. And that's what God wants it to be. And I tell you, I've had such a wonderful time today. Just the Spirit of God is just, it seemed like every scripture I would read was illuminated. And everywhere I would go, somebody wanted prayer and stores. I couldn't get out of the car hardly for people calling. And with situations in their life. And God gives you a word of wisdom, because we have the gift of the Spirit. We don't have to have a psychology, which is okay. But, I mean, we have a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. We have that in the Spirit of God. So somebody calls and they have a problem, and you're in the Spirit of God, you have that word that you can tell them. Like this one particular lady today, it was she'd had a dream. And I'm not into that kind of stuff, that's of the devil. They couldn't even say it. but God does speak in dreams and visions, and then it's interpreted by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. I mean, if anything comes out that's not in balance with the Word of God, it's a lie. It is a seducing spirit from the enemy. And we got to be wise and not yield to anything. And so many of the DVDs that y'all are out there hearing me, don't set your children in front of these stupid DVDs that are made by religions and by churches that are an abomination unto God. They teach things that are absolutely contrary to the Word of God. Get on your knees and get your children around the table and begin to journal with them. We've got some families that are doing that with different age children, and they're journaling, and they're looking into the Word of God, and they're drawing pictures to express their feelings. Now, this is real. That is a bond. But this other stuff that somebody gave me one when I was sick a week or two ago, and it was ridiculous. It was so far from the Word of God. It was just ridiculous. So I don't want to put that in the child's mind, and then have to come back and say, well, now that really wasn't true. Then why show it to them? You know, it's this serious business right now. We're moving
We're moving toward the end at a very fast pace, and I believe God's going to return an anointing to his church, and there's going to be healings, and there's I heard a story, and I want to share it with everybody really quickly, and then I'll try to be quiet. But Smith Wigglesworth, I love his story. If you have any opportunity to read his life and his biography, but at the very end of it, with several pages of a book, but at the end of it, he was he had been gloriously filled with the Holy Ghost, but he had lived for God. He'd been sanctified. He had the Salvation Army, you know, that outreach. He had a heart to. He didn't want anything in his heart or mind that was not of God. And so they were waiting at a bus stop. And while they were standing there, a lady came to get on the bus or was waiting with them. And her little dog came. And she was saying, going home now, going home. Now they're going home, you know, and just reasoning with him and, you know, just trying to get him to go. And finally she stomped her foot and she said, get home. And boy, that dog tucked his tail and he got home. You know, that sounds rough. Smith Wigglesworth looked at everybody standing there and said, that's what you got to do to the devil. Don't beg him. Don't plead with him. Tell him to get out in Jesus' name, and he has to go. Oh, I thought that was so good. Okay.
Amen.
Now, I just love y'all so much, and thank you for allowing me to take so much time. But at this point, I'm going to let you talk.
Oh, wow. We enjoyed it. I don't know what we would do without our Block Talk Mom. I just do appreciate you so much, and I could not do this without you.
Oh, yes, we. Yeah. But I couldn't, for sure. I enjoy it so much. It's just really, Joybells went to church on Sunday morning. I said I was going to be quiet, but I didn't mean to lie. I just want to share this. I was getting ready to go into church, and it was she had called because she was going to Super Sunday in the afternoon. And as we talked, I just began to feel the presence of God. Of course, I'm always happy to hear from her and y'all. I mean, that just thrills my soul. But it was different. It was just I just cannot describe to you what I felt. And I went on into church. And every song, they sang new songs. They sang songs I've never heard them sing before. But it was like it just went right into the depths of my heart. And so one of the elders that was visiting, he got up. He says, you know, you may have the Holy Ghost, but where is the fire? Where is the fire of the Holy Ghost? You know, on the day of Pentecost, it was a mighty, it was a rushing wind. The fire of God began to move. And It, you know, we know about that, and we sing all kinds of songs in Pentecost but about the fire. But about halfway through, I thought, I've got the fire. I do. And in 76, and I don't know for sure what I'm going to do. But, oh, I mean, so he went back to his seat, and before I knew it, I was up at the pulpit. And that is just not like me. Joy Bells and I had talked about that I'm not that spontaneous anymore. And I turned around, and the anointing moved. People were running. I mean, we had church. And the preacher was wonderful. He got that was going to preach. He got up and just began to weep over, you know, the needs of people. And the altars filled up, little children growing. It was awesome. It was just, so I'm excited about what God's doing. He's ready. He's pouring out his spirit again, just like on the day of Pentecost. It's the latter rain, whatever anybody wants to call it. Lift your cup, lift your heart to the Lord, and seek him. Don't seek riches. Just seek him, and it's a package deal. He will give you exactly what you need, when you need it, how you need it, and then you will prosper and from every part of it. You'll prosper if you lose, and you'll prosper if you win, because you can't lose with the things that God gives and places in your life. But one thing for sure, no matter how broken you are, no matter how burdened you are, God is the one that came and he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He is meek and he is lowly and he is wonderful and kind. There's no life like living for Jesus Christ and allowing him to live in you. In Jesus' name. Okay, I'm trying to be
quiet. No, it was good. I just, I so enjoyed that the program today, and you, just the Holy Ghost rising up in you and the Spirit in you. I really enjoyed that.
Well, he said to laugh. You know, that was part of his message. And so we are. We're just, we do. It's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable. And someone years ago called me and they were telling me, you know, I don't remember all the details because it's been like 30 years ago, but about how you couldn't have any fun and living for God and, oh, there's just all this kind of stuff. And I said, I tell you what. And I usually didn't talk back to this person, but I told them, I mean, from the depths of my heart and used that scripture. And that person right now is filled with the Holy Ghost and has been from about that same week. Because there's nothing this world has to offer. What Brother Max at our church preached the other day, where David had said, you know, that the Lord brought us out of a horrible pit, and in all of the translation, it'd be like bringing us out of a cesspool, bringing us out of the most sickening. Actually, the Hebrew uses an even more gross word. And God brought us out of that and set us on a rock, set us on a sure foundation. And there's nothing the world has to compare with that. So why would we ever, ever look back at Egypt to the world? I'm not talking about the country necessarily, you know, what it represented with the Israelites. And I'm believing for great things for the work, for the church, and for, you know, that we're going to begin to reach out and bring people in. I want to see deliverance. You know, you just see people come in and they seem like they get overwhelmed, and it's back to what this man said. They must fill themselves with the Word of God in time with Him and meditating upon what He actually is saying. And it comes in, like, I've been studying for, I'm 76, as I mentioned, and I get something out of the Word of God every time I read it that I never did, not every time maybe, but most of the time. And it's just wonderful. Did Joy Bell call tonight? Or she
had earlier.
Oh, I wanted to hear from her because she sent me a bunch of pictures of her and Jane Ginn, Audibel Janowski, Sister Kaiser. They were at the BB Church. I enjoyed that so much.
Well, we have Wild Bill with us. I don't know if he's going to say something. Wild Bill, I'm going to open up your mic and let you speak.
I would say something. I guess I need to get a radio show so I get to talk every now and then. No, one of the things that really stirred me up on this show is that we use a lot of words like faith and God's word and standing on the word and foundations and principles and promises, and we have this itinerary of words that just endless. But we don't really explain to people how to learn to have faith, you know, to how to practice to have faith. You know, I've always been fascinated. You never have to teach a kid to say mine. It's amazing to me how a little kid can learn this mine, mine, or no. How many kids have you had to teach to say no? It's just something that's there. And negativity and the things that's in this world, the curse of sin, it's real. It's a force to be reckoned with. It's in there, like you said, it's our own mind that wants to believe negativity to things. And I loved how he brought it out at first that you got to have that love. And like you were saying, the key is it's not that you're wanting wealth for your and riches for yourself, but you want to be blessed so you can bless others. It's that mind concept to wrap around these things to understand. I thought some of the things he had to do to practice faith was a little extreme. But the key was that he practiced it. You know, he stood upon those words in the scriptures and he practiced his faith. And he did it to the point that he just kept growing in it, listening to the word. And just, you know, like you said, it wasn't an immediate thing. It's a process to change, what do you call it, your stinking thinking. You know, our thinking can get us in a lot of trouble. Well, I think it's this way. I think it's that way. Well, no, God's word says it's this way. And we've gotten, it seems like, in this day and time where we want to talk about faith who don't really want to apply faith. It's almost like if you had two people that went to a hardware store and they both bought paint for their house and scrapers and all the things to weatherproof their house, and one person applied it to their house and the other one didn't, and the next year one man's got all kinds of damage on his home, and the other man, his house is perfectly safe. It's because it's the application of what he bought. And it's the application of God's word in our life. It's that thought process being changed, not all at one time. It's that process. You know, I could lay down on the floor and do one sit-up right now, and I guarantee you I'm not going to get up and have a six-pack abs. It just doesn't work that way. It's a continuing process. It's a life-living process to live for God that changes our mind. Because you look around you, and as Starlin mentioned today, I'm one of those people, I study people. I look around, and you can see people that you could, they're smiling, but you can tell there's a vacancy behind their smile. It looks like they're having a good time, but you can tell that there's all kinds of hurts and anxieties and things that are there. And I want to have more of that instant faith in my life to where, like you were talking, Blog Talk Mom, when people come to me in needs, and it's not one of those things that I got to run to the faith store and reach in there and try to find something to help someone, but what I already have within me that I can share with others. And that's the key to the whole thing with Peter and, you know, the man that was laying, you know, hey, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. It's got to be that something that we got to have before we can share. And I want to have more of that in my life to be able to be more of a help for others, to share the love of God and to let people know what it is that drives us from within, not what we say, to let them see that as part, I love what Brother Smithson says. He talks about praise is a moment and worship is the lifestyle. And maybe I said that backwards, but it's one of those things. It's not just words. It's how we live. It's where we are. It's who we are. And when it becomes part of your identity, that DNA he was talking about within me, when I understand that I am a royal priesthood, that I am a chosen generation, that I'm his. My value is not in who I am except through him. And when I can just lean on that and just relax in that and know that God has a perfect will and a perfect plan. And if I have faith, it's like today, you know, it's so strange to me how that I could be shorted 5 weeks' pay, and here I am in New Orleans. We're having a meeting on this today. And the potential is there for me to get about a year's wages at one time. And yet it didn't happen today. But I don't lose faith in that. Now, was I anxious? Was I, you know, worried about, you know, financial consequences of, you know, I still got bills to pay and things like that? Those things come to mind. I'm not going to lie and say that they don't. But I know that everything's going to work out to my good. And I know that God has a plan. And the longer this takes, the more money. I think I'm actually gaining like $1,000 a day for every day this drags on. So, I mean, it's not like I have to, you know. I mean, and there's a possibility that I could go get nothing. But through this process that I was able to witness to someone I used to work with in Nashville and, you know, and talk about things that's going on in my life and, you know, share how some of the things that happened and some of the tests and trials and how good. But on the other side of that is how good God's been to me. You know, the blessings that I have in my life, the radio show and the ministry we do in church and the fellowship that we're having right now to reach out to other people. And it just blows my mind to look at almost daily when I get a chance to get on Facebook. I have, you know, 8 or 9 people daily want to be added to the list to friend the radio show on our Facebook page. And that's encouraging to know that there's people that are listening and they're getting something from this. And it's doing something. Like I said when we started this show, if it doesn't do anything but help one person, it's worth it. And that one person, for the biggest part of it, was me. And it still is. I get such a blessing out of praying and God, you know, bringing me. I don't even know who that man was that I found on this old recording that I was putting in. But something about just plain talk sometimes, getting all the rhetoric out of the way, I think is important to help people understand that there is a real reality when it comes to living for God. That's why there's books that's written like I'm Okay and You're Okay and How to Win Friends and Influence People. That's based on God's principle. It's not on God's word, but it's based on principles from God's word. And it's always been amazing to me that if you take the things in God's word and you apply it, guess what? It works. Not sometimes, but every time. it may not be to the way that you think it's going to be, and it may not always be in the time that you think it's going to be, but you keep standing on it, and you watch, because your answer is coming. So that's all I wanted to add to Mom's long blessings that you had going through your life today.
Sorry about that.
Someday I'll get a Block Talk show so I can talk.
Yeah, that was cute. And I like what you said. It is relationship. It is that. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It all works together. The manna in the Old Testament was to be a daily thing. You know, they didn't hold it over till the next day. So we have relationship. We study His word every day. And we spend time with Him. And then we don't leave Him out. And you mentioned the principles work even if you do leave Him out. But with God, from everything that I've read in the last few weeks, that's an abomination. Don't use His principles and leave Him out of it. That's what they did in the garden. That's what Israel did down through the Old Testament times. And since the day of Pentecost, well, even when Christ was here for sure, we don't want to leave Him out. He's the center of everything, the center of our joy. He is an awesome God, and I love Him.
That's true. My life could not have been changed except through Jesus. You know, there was no other change that could give me, fill that void in my life that was there. You couldn't do it through relationships with people. You can't do it through jobs. You can't do it through hobbies. You can't do it through drugs. You can't do it through alcohol. Jesus is the only thing that will fill that void that's missing in our life. And His word is just so, we can just stand on it. I had a pastor get on to me the other day because I was kind of back talking on some things I was saying. I'm like, now, we understand that God is sovereign, you know, on these things, and so sometimes it don't happen, you know, this way or that way. And he got up behind me and he says, God's sovereign, but God will never change from what it says in His word. We can stand upon that. What He says, He's sovereign, yes, but He's already established His word. From the foundation of the world, He made a way of escape, and He's established the foundation of His word that we can stand on and trust. And His answers are yea and amen for His promises. And so I'm going to stand on each and every one that I can, especially with a Block Talk Mom like I have.
You're keeping me fired up, keeping me right, and I love that. There's such an anointing that God promises His people, and the anointing is His presence. And as I mentioned, if we let that lead us, then it's the light of God. If we don't walk in darkness, we walk in light. And there's going to be trials, there's going to be tests, there's going to be those things, but God handpicks them. He said, I'll never put more on you than you can bear. But with every temptation, there will be a way of escape. And we have those in the Word of God that lived for God, worked for God, stood for God, and died for God in the kingdom of God. But it was all a glorious thing. We hear their words. We have the words of Josephus, and he wrote so many that were martyred. And how, you know, if the enemy could have stopped that from being passed down through history, he certainly would have, but he didn't. And we have that to know, that whatever comes our way, if we put our trust in God, it will be perfect, and it will be for our good and for the good of the kingdom of God. And then you can forgive. You know, if you don't want to hold on to it, I like the way you mentioned that. Unforgiveness is one of the strongholds that Satan will try to put in our lives, some type of unforgiveness, and it's not worth it. Just let it go, because it's all going to work out for good if we let it go, and then God can forgive us and pour out His blessings on us. But if we get angry and we're, you know, that's just, we can't do that. We don't want to do that. We want to obey the Lord and walk in that anointing.
Amen.
Well, will you sing
a song? I guess we'll get to hear the second.
Oh, go ahead. I was just going to mention that chorus that we used to sing.
a lot when I first got in church. There's a river of life flowing out through me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors, sets the captive free. There's a river of life flowing out through me. And I love that.
Yeah. Brother Smithson loves that scripture, and from out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Yeah.
That, you know, we can
yeah.
share with people. You know, it's not just a stream, it's not just a trickle, it's rivers. And as me and Starla was out there looking at, I guess that was part of the tributary for the Mississippi River coming down here in New Orleans. I'm not really sure what it was. It's the intracausway, but it was so unusual how that it was hot and muggy outside, but a swift breeze could come down off the water, and it was like someone had opened the door of a refrigerator and just blasted you with cool air. And you're like, you know, what an amazing God we got that can make weather and patterns and everything like it is that we have here on this world, this whole cycle of life and the plants and everything, that he had a plan for all this. This wasn't none of this by chance. And it's not by chance the life that we live either. And we can have confidence that when we're on God's side, we're on the winning side. And that's the side I want to stay on. So I guess we'll be back next week with the other side, and we should be, well, Starla will be back home then, and I'll probably be out there in the truck going down the road. But I hope everybody comes back next week to get the second half of this. And I hope everyone was blessed by the first part. And next time, if y'all push your hand real quick, we might let you talk before we turn Blog Talk Mama. I'm playing with you, Mom. I really enjoy everything you have to share. It's really exciting. And most of our listeners are actually listening from the archives anyway. But I do want to say from our listeners, we really appreciate, you know, the comments and things you're making, and continue to spread the program. And if you got a topic you'd like to have discussed, or a guest speaker like Blog Talk Mama was talking about with these people's got the study program. We'd love to have some other people come on and share some things with us. So, but anyway, I think we've run close to the end of our time, haven't we, Starla?
Yeah, we are.
So with that being said, we'll see you guys next week here at your place, and God bless each and every one of you. Good night.
God bless. Good night.